Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The week ahead with CNBC on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. You're in the breakfast huddle. Elliot Danko, Manisha Tank and Ryan Huang joining you. It's Monday, so it's our opportunity to look at what's ahead this week and check in with our friends at CNBC.
And from down under, it's CNBC's Will Caloris on the line this morning. Will, how have you been, man?
It's been a long time, guys. It's been an absolute long time. I hope you've all been well as well.
Not bad. Have you been out, you know, smelling fresh air and, you know, sort of semi-normal?
Only outside of work hours. During work hours, it's 12 hours in the hot
box. Oh, dear. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about the situation in Australia and New Zealand in just a sec. But first things first, this week, Will, it's all about the earnings season that's heating up. We had the banks last week lifting markets. What are you keeping an eye out for this week?
There are a couple of interesting ones when you look at the United States. Firstly, I do want to look at Coca-Cola and what they have to say about the fact that Coca-Cola European Partners, this is an Australian buy, of course, just bought out the Coca-Cola operations in Australia. And obviously, the Coca-Cola American side had 30% of that. But putting that aside, there are a number of key ones that obviously everyone is going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at United Airlines, obviously, after Delta basically announced how slaughtered they got when it does come to COVID. But primarily for the airlines and even some of the consumer places, they're all going to be centered around what their guidance is moving through this COVID-19 pandemic. Obviously, Netflix is going to be an absolutely huge one. They kind of look like what they're saying in terms of their projected additions to their subscriber base. It's around about 6 million. Might be a little bit small, so there could be some upside following on from their results there. And it is interesting because I do want to say this. If you're looking at some of the activity, perhaps over the last month or so, where we've seen the bond yields flip considerably from it was ramping to the upside in terms of the yield and then what that was doing to the growth stocks. If you were someone that engaged in all of your, you know, scalping trades a month before earnings like you normally would, there is some serious upside for all of those people who were placing their bets early and then looking into some of these tech stocks now that the yields have somewhat normalized and a lot of the short gains have sustained when it does come to the yield. So even the likes of IBM could see some upside if you're thinking about it in that context. Obviously Netflix as well, but I'd even be looking at, you know, perhaps some of the smaller eyes, like Intel's probably not small, but Intel probably has some upside as well. So I'd be looking at that tech space, considering the broader context and the fact that a lot of people are going to be maybe closing out positions as well. And then obviously for all of the global watchers, everyone's going to be eyeing off on Credit Suisse and their results, considering all of the issues that have been happening around Credit Suisse. I'm sure you guys have been covering it at nauseam, so I won't get too much into that. But that's probably the other one that I'd be keeping an eye on. Plus, just finally, Biden's climate summit. Because there's a lot of talk about his infrastructure plan, but it's going to be, you know, curious to see how all of the key decision makers and all of their opinions when they do culminate is going to lead to anything perhaps concrete in the run-up to Glasgow later this year.
Yeah, and take a breath, Will, because you managed to fit a lot in the bag just then. Yes, a lot to look forward to. And actually, that climate summit has made front-page news here in Singapore. It's on the front page of the Straits Times. Let's talk about some front-page news down under with the Australia-New Zealand travel bubble, of course. Multiple delays. However, now Australians and Kiwis are going to be able to cross borders without quarantine. This kicks off today, as I understand it. You know, how's this going down? Because this is quite a milestone when it comes to the pandemic.
It really is, but this is, how could I best put it? It's probably more of like a test case when it does come to the travel bubble situation for Australia. Obviously, there's this, you know, importance when it does come to Australia and New Zealand. You've got this quarantine-free travel, but realistically, New Zealanders for the past couple of months have been traveling here to Australia quarantine-free. So what this is going to serve as is just a proof of concept, I suppose, when you're looking at it from the Australian context, especially. Like, obviously, the influx of travellers from Australia to New Zealand is going to be absolutely huge for the New Zealand economy. They're very tourism dependent. 20% of their GDP is tourism. And even if you're thinking it within the context of, you know, you could say that it might be marginal, but then you've got to establish the fact that, you know, our savings right now here in Australia, for example, is sitting at around about 13%. Prior to COVID, it was around about 5%. So if you extrapolate out the numbers on the prospective average spend before COVID, they were spending $1,800 per person. Maybe that gets bigger. So there could be that economic importance. But the key here for Australia is going to be if they can prove out this concept, make sure that it's safe, make sure that everything is kosher in that respect, and perhaps we get that Singapore travel bubble in July that everybody wants. Perhaps we get a travel bubble with Hong Kong and all of these other jurisdictions that have been able to maintain COVID. So this gives the Australian government, while they're dealing with all their vaccine rollout issues, a good couple of months to just set up the necessary frameworks, ensure that they can have this travel bubble work, and then we're looking toward all of the other countries in Asia, because that's the goal here, to try, even though we might not be able to open our international borders fully, the government really wants to be able to establish at the very least Singapore by July. So hopefully that's some good news for you guys as well, being able to finally get out of Singapore and travel to Australia quarantine free.
Yeah, hopefully that paves the way for more travel bubbles. You are checking CNBC's Will Kalouris. And another headline investors are digesting this week is what's happening in the cryptocurrency world. Over the weekend, Bitcoin plunged as much as 15%. I'm not sure if that surprises anyone anymore, Will. What's happening in the cryptocurrency world? Is that enough, you think, to finally shake the faith among the Bitcoin believers?
I don't think so. I really don't. I've been talking to a lot of DeFi people for the past couple of months just to try and get an understanding of it. And again, if you're thinking about Bitcoin, whether you believe it's an asset, whether you don't, if you're dealing with the kind of volatility and the kind of upward run, even knocking off 15% in such a short time frame, even though it's basically normalized to what, 7%, isn't that much of a big deal if you're looking at it from the context of even a month or the past 3 months in terms of when you're invested in. It's only the people that have obviously invested in the day before that got hit with this 15%. But there's a lot of reasons. There just doesn't seem to be that same kind of transparency when it comes to the volatility on Bitcoin that you're going to get for a major market index or you're going to get for a stock. And I think that's where the problem lies, only in certain classes of investors that perhaps don't understand how this asset class works, and then the volatility that they're going to be putting themselves at risk to, if that makes sense. So, you know, you can see the reason. Some people are saying it's the coal mine shutting down in Xinjiang. Some people are saying that, you know, it's the impositions of the Turkish cryptocurrency that happened on Friday. Some people are saying it's because the US is coming after it. But at the end of the day, if you're someone putting your money into Bitcoin, you should know that you're going to get this volatility. So unless you're day trading it or unless you're... You've got to believe in the asset class, and if you believe in the asset class, then obviously that influx of money keeping on coming into it is going to be a positive. But if you don't believe, just don't invest.
All right, we've been speaking with CNBC's Will Kalouris. Will, are you going to head up to New Zealand? Enjoy that travel bubble?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah? All right.
Yes.
We want to hear all about it next time we speak. CNBC's Will Kalouris on the line with us. Will, thank you for your time. Take care. Stay safe.
Thank you so much. You too.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.